All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so, it's been a while, as far as these are concerned. It's been a couple of few weeks since then, since I posted my last one of these, so I thought it would be appropriate to put another one up, to keep the series going as it has been. Things have been a little busy in my personal life, I suppose, so now it seems I have some extra minutes to knock out one of these episodes. So anyway, to the topic of today, the title of this episode is Relentless Diplomacy, or as President Biden was calling it, the new era of relentless diplomacy. And this was something of a theory of mine that I had personally for the last few months and, you know, leading up to the Biden administration starting to run things in Washington and the Biden presidency there. It was this idea that we would shift away from the older, you know, style of foreign policy and foreign intervention in things. And I believe that's the Wilsonian school of thought, where we would go into other countries and attempt to make them in our own image, if you will. And so let me just tell you the reason why I thought this was. First, I was reading Barack Obama's his biography that he wrote about his presidency. And he mentioned that during the decision to put more troops into Afghanistan and Iraq around 2009, 2010, Vice President Biden at the time had no interest in putting more in. He's always been against this sort of thing, and he wanted to pull them out over 10 years ago, and now he's been able to do that. And so to me, this signals one shift away from the traditional military presence to go in and sort a country out that we saw in Vietnam, in Korea, in Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, where if there was a situation where, you know, the U.S. wanted to start nation building, and this was particularly salient in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so it seems like the Biden administration has given up on that dream and has shifted and tried to angle more towards a more of a diplomatic solution to things. And what strikes me about this Biden administration is that the things that he is aiming to do in this moment, across the board, really, are really fundamental pieces that are going to shift the nation. And I can get into some of those later. But at least as far as this is concerned, these little in particular moves, you know, they're not going to drastically shake up things for years to come on the military side. Obviously, I don't think the defense budget's getting slashed anytime soon. But the fact that we aren't actively fighting a war in Afghanistan anymore is pretty significant, in nothing else but that the war has not continued, and it's setting the norm that we will not fight in a war using deployed troops on such a large scale. That does not mean that we have not stopped participating in the global security situation. There are still, you know, calculated strikes and attacks being done, but they're not done on a massive military scale. And so this pulling out of Afghanistan and using more covert as opposed to overt operations to further U.S. aims overseas, is, I think that's one shift that the Biden administration is setting up. And whoever runs the ship, runs the show after Biden, whether it's after one term or two, it's really up to them to continue this norm-setting process. But Biden is setting this norm that from now on, as long as I'm running things, we will shoot for the covert operations, or the more low-key, not low-key, but more minimal operations. You know, intelligence-based, quick strikes, as opposed to long military campaigns. And so that's one shift that I've seen. And the second shift, this is particularly relevant when you compare it to the Trump administration, is a turning back to our more traditional allies. And not so much getting and legitimizing more authoritarian and corrupt regimes, much like the former President Trump did when he visited Kim Jong-un in North Korea and his various trips out to Russia with, or not to Russia, but with Vladimir Putin, and calls with Xi Jinping, and praising leaders like that, whom generally the U.S. views as their enemies. And so, you know, you may hear him say, oh, well, this is a, you know, relationship building with that. But I would not say that's the case, particularly when you look in the context of Russian disinformation and Russian aid to the Trump campaign. So I don't think it's necessarily that. But at the same time that was happening, you had Trump doing very symbolically disrespectful things, and literally, policy-wise, disrespectful things to our traditional allies. And so now you have Biden signing a trilateral agreement with the UK and Australia to establish a defense presence in the South China Sea and down there in the Pacific region. And that's, again, that one is a military action, but it is not sending troops out to do this. It is an agreement to send, it's not sending troops out to fight a war. Rather, this is more of like a scarecrow type thing, again, more of a symbolic gesture that, like, yeah, the US and the UK and Australia are involved in this South China Sea, and we want to keep this region open to the rest of the world, where you have the People's Republic of China claiming that they own the South China Sea, when there is no international standard for that whatsoever. A country cannot own an ocean or a sea. That's not how that works. So again, this is not a military campaign to fight the People's Republic of China, but it is a defensive measure, you know, that will keep, that is, its intention is to keep that area and beyond open and free of Chinese influence and superiority in that region. And so that's another one. Again, this is not, these are not ground campaigns, these are not wars being fought in the traditional sense, but they are more concentrated strategic moves to still push American aims. And I just see this as a redefining of what war means and what security means. And I think that it's a really, it's a rough transition, and we're seeing that rough transition happening now. Like with the pullout from Afghanistan, it was a lot of, there were a lot of people left hanging. There were a lot of people whose lives were uprooted by that. And that's unfortunate. But I do believe that in the larger scheme of things, it was a necessary move. It's not a good move. It's not a good fun thing to do. But it is a situation where it was the best thing to do for American security in the long run, because as we've seen with as far back as the Sony Pictures hack in 2014, and the ransomware attacks that we've seen with SolarWinds, and that we've been seeing recently, we've seen a few of those. You know, security today does not mean, you know, the U.S. needs to defend itself from military attacks on U.S. soil. And while they still do, and they still need to defend their soldiers and allies abroad with traditional military techniques, there also needs to be an effort for defense in terms of cybersecurity, cyber defense, infrastructure, digital infrastructure protection, because countries like North Korea have a lot more leverage and power if we're talking purely a cyber attack as opposed to a direct military attack on physical attack on the United States. So I think that this shift away from traditional military ground sea campaigns and more towards a strategic, diplomatic, and concentrated attacks, and again expanding the digital into that as well, that's going to help us defend our interest as a nation going forward. So I think that's sort of a key shift that's happened. And a similar thing happened. You know, war has been redefined several times throughout history, and World War I was a perfect example. Before that, it used to be this glorious thing that men would do as a rite of passage of sorts. But after that, war was miserable. It was torturous. It was horrible conditions in a trench, and people were just getting killed by the hundreds. And it was just, there was nothing glorious about World War I. And that's when war changed. And so war is now changing again. It does not need to be the U.S. sending active troops on these massive, long-standing, forever war campaigns. It needs to be using our resources for specific attacks and defensive maneuvers to further our interests without sinking so much time, effort, and most importantly, American lives into the picture.